It is, as always, a pleasure and a joy to be with you all here this evening. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your Wednesday evening and out of your week to come to gather together, to have fellowship with one another, and sing praises to our awesome and great God, and hear a portion of God's Word that I have been studying. And I'd like to thank you for the prayers on my behalf, as well as for Barry and Daryl for giving me this opportunity to share with you a portion of God's Word. Tonight, we're going to continue looking at the book of Proverbs. Over the past few lessons, we looked at a number of different aspects about Proverbs. We've continuing in chapters 1 through 9, where in the first lesson, we divided the book of Proverbs into three parts. The first part, we will finish today going through analyzing the choice that we are given in this book, a choice between wisdom and folly, as well as introducing the characters in the book of Proverbs, such as Lady Wisdom, Lady Folly, the Wise Father, and the Evil Men. We then went on to look at reverence and how that relates to wisdom, and how true wisdom only comes with a fear for God and His commandments, and otherwise we would live in the world of delusional, worldly wisdom, which is not true godly wisdom. We then looked at the call of wisdom. We looked at the Wise Father and Lady Wisdom, what they, and many different verses about them, the nature of wisdom, the personification of God's wisdom through these two characters. We looked at how wisdom is seeking us, searching us out, and how we also need to seek wisdom. We saw wisdom's authority being there at the creation of the entire universe, being there with God. We saw wisdom's offer to give all her secrets and knowledge to us so that we may have true godly wisdom. And we saw that call, wisdom's call, and that we can see, in to name a few things, the creation around us, the Word of God, our families, as well as asking God for wisdom. And tonight we're going to look at the other two characters. They're not nearly as pleasant as the Wise Father and Lady Wisdom. These two characters will make their case, state their claim as to why we should live after their ways and not live after the ways of God's wisdom, why we should seek them in order to find joy and happiness in this world. And those two characters are Evil Men and Lady Folly. Now, one word that we'll be looking at today, and we'll see throughout the rest of Proverbs, is the word folly and fool. And what that means, and a biblical definition of what that means, what is often translated into folly, or sometimes foolishness, foolish, and other such words, simply means to live outside of wisdom, to not heed wisdom in seeking wisdom, to not live according to God's word, but to live according to your own way. A fool who is a stupid fellow, a simpleton, and arrogant. These are not people who follow God. They're not people actively trying to follow God or seeking Him. They live this way out of pride and arrogance. And there's many different aspects of being in folly. We can see Proverbs 18, verse 2 says, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion." Proverbs 29, 11 states, "A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds back." And lastly, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 35 reads, "The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace." To live a life not of wisdom is to live in folly, to live however you desire out of pride and arrogance, selfish, self-centered, prideful, rageful, uncontrolled, lacking self-control, and a disgrace. These are all ways to describe a fool. And now, having seen what a fool and what folly are on a very surface level, we'll continue to look at that throughout the book of Proverbs. We can properly hear the case of these two remaining characters in the first nine chapters of Proverbs as to why we would live the way they live. With that, we'll go to Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 10. It reads, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder.
throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. And here we're introduced to these evil men, these sinners. Much like wisdom, they are calling to us. They are seeking us out, desiring for us to follow them, to follow their ways. And notice how that the things they desire are simply to do evil. There is nothing good, there is nothing edifying, beneficial, or praiseworthy in all that they do. Ambush the innocent, plunder and steal, harm those who do not deserve it. These men are evil. It's for this reason that the wise father who's reciting this, telling his son not to follow after these wicked men, says in verse 15, "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors." These foolish men who practice evil, who live evil lives, will bring you down with them, with selfish intentions. Whereas wisdom's call is to lift one up, to allow us to have a closer relationship with God, living an attribute of God, which is perfect wisdom, as we humans can best live wisdom. But these men described in Proverbs, it's more of an enticement than a call to greater things, an enticement to follow them to a common grave, a grave of death and despair. That's the way of folly, the foolish men who will desire to bring you down, whereas wisdom wants to bring you closer to God. Unlike wisdom, these men are asking you to follow their desires, and we do not want to follow in their wicked ways. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24 through 32. This is where we can see wisdom's response to these men. As again, Lady Wisdom personified responds to people who would follow these wicked men. Wisdom has an answer for that. "Because I have called and you have refused, and you have refused to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their ways, and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them." Wisdom calls to us to seek her, to live after her ways, embodying an attribute of the living God and Creator. But when we do not heed that call, when we do not live a life following wisdom according to God's word, bad things will happen. It's the nature of sin. Sin is death, or leads to death, and destroys our lives, our reputations, families, and will even lead to the greatest death, which is spiritual death. Lady Wisdom does not mock these people out of joy. As we saw in our last lesson, wisdom cries for people to come to her, cries for those who are simple, those who are weak, those who are foolish. She cries to them to come to her. But for those who don't listen, and those who continuously follow in the wicked paths, when destruction comes, it's only cause and effect. And it's the people who lived foolish lives who will sin and fall. And if they do not come to know wisdom, come to know God, there are consequences for that. It's the fruit of their sin. The simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. The book of James says it another way. In James chapter 1, verse 14 through 15, it reads, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. This is the way of men living in sin. The way of human beings living in this sin, men in folly of actions and deeds. And while their life may provide some of the greatest riches and pleasures in this temporal world, it does not compare to the punishment that is received in eternity, a death without the presence of God. And there's another passage we need to look at when it comes to those who live foolishly and entice others. It's Proverbs chapter 7, which in my personal opinion, and this is by no means scriptural fact, is one of the most disturbing chapters in the book of Proverbs, if not the entire book of the Bible. It is like watching a friend walk to their death unknowingly and not be able to do anything about it. As we read this story of this man who's enticed to sin and to fall, and we see where it leads him. And it's a powerful chapter, so that I want to go ahead and read the entire chapter in its entirety. Proverbs chapter 7, beginning with the words of the wise father, "My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, 'You are my sister,' and call insight your intimate friend, to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words." This is another benefit of wisdom. When we live in wisdom, when we follow wisdom, when we seek wisdom continuously, falling to sin is much harder. Because we see those red flags, we see those warning signs saying this is against God's will, or this is putting us in a dangerous situation. And we never want to be in those situations. And the rest of this chapter goes on to tell what could be described as a sort of PSA. Don't do this like this guy did. Proverbs chapter 7, beginning in verse 6, "For at the window of my house I have looked out through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness." And before we go on, there's one issue that is so important to address right here. Up until now, there has been no physical sin that we'll see later. But he is, this young man who is simple, is putting himself in a precarious situation. In a sense, he's flirting with evil, flirting with this danger, this temptress that we'll see, flirting with Lady Folly. Why would you flirt with evil? Because sometimes it feels good. Because evil, we can see in the Bible, sin has a pleasure to it. It is very temporary, and it comes with far more problems and devastation later. But sin is attractive, otherwise no one would do it. And this young man is metaphorically in between the fence, maybe doing what's right, maybe doing what's wrong, but not being all in. And we can learn from this, rather than make the mistake he made, we need to hate sin. We need to despise it. We need to be disgusted by the idea of sin, to run from it, to flee it. Because it is death. And if we don't flee it, if we don't do everything in our power to not flirt with sin, then we will fall to it. I am guilty of this. Everyone is guilty of this, of toying with the idea of sin until we realize that we messed up in one way or another, rather than just despising the things that God despises, which is the evil which is in this world. There are truly grave consequences from falling to sin, as we will see. Proverbs 7, beginning in verse 10, "And behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She is loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home, now in the street, now in the market. And at every corner, she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him. And with bold face, she says to him, I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vows. So now I have come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, covered linen from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. And with smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, he follows her. As an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver. As a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life. We could go deep into this passage, breaking it down bit by bit, seeing how she seduced him with her words, her dress, her actions, and more. How she used words to make it seem like this act of sin against the word of God was an opportune thing, a safe thing, even a right thing. However, despite all this, the young man lacked sense, and he went to sin with her, leading to death. All at once, he followed her. It was like an ox going to the slaughter. They don't come back from the slaughter. And this is because this man lived in folly. He lived that way, not knowing it would cost him his life. Folly leads to death. Wisdom leads to a deeper relationship with God. That's the choice we're given in Proverbs. It would seem like a very simple, easy choice, but so often we fail and we fail again. Now, one important thing to note, this sin mentioned in Proverbs chapter 7 is sexual immorality, which has more physical consequences than a number of sins, but we can see that, and we can see this throughout Proverbs, that the call to stay faithful to your spouse, to not give ground to earthly passions and desires outside of the bounds of marriage that God has laid for his creation. But even though this is a very vivid sin and a very vivid story, an example of being led into sin, it's the same with all sins, with all failings. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is sin. And I know that sounds so simple, but so often we can start putting ranks on sins. Like this was a worse sin and this was a lesser worse sin. Maybe it's the repercussions here on this earth, but all sin leads to death. It is folly. We've all sinned. We are all doomed to die, as we can see, is where sin leads. Galatians 5:19 through 24 reads, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, enviousness, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is the inspired word of God, that those who live in folly will not inherit the promise of salvation. So what are we to do? How do we not live in sin? How do we not live in folly, which leads to death? It says it right in the next verse. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Only through Christ
can we find hope and peace and salvation from the sins that we've committed in our lives. Christ Jesus, the one and only Son of the living God, understood that every human being who has ever lived has sinned against our Creator. And as we've seen, sin folly leads to death. But God, who loved us so much, His creation so much, sent His one and only Son, Christ Jesus, down to this earth. And Christ Jesus was tempted in every way known to man. He was tempted, but He prevailed. He did not fall to that temptation. He lived a perfect life. He was the one who did not need to die. Yet He did. Because Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice, went onto a cross and suffered a brutal death, a death which should have been ours. And the blood was poured out, and His body was beaten, and He was killed. And the Son of God was dead. But on the third day, He rose again in newness of life, signifying that we, in our sins, can come to Christ, can become one with Him through the church and through service to Him and to following His commandments, and can be saved and rise again from this death of sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28 through 31, God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. If you don't want to live a life of folly, live a life following wisdom. And if you don't want to live a life of sin, live a life following Christ, who is to us wisdom and is to us our salvation and our hope and our peace. Do you choose to walk in wisdom? If you understand Scripture and believe that the Word of God is true, it is very clear there's no other way to live than by wisdom. Folly is not the option we need to live by. And do you choose to walk in Christ, who is to us wisdom? Following Christ is living a life of wisdom. How do you live that life? By understanding that we have sinned and that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, came to this earth and died for those sins, rose again in newness of life. Confess that He is the Son of God and be baptized in the burial, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then live a life new, following in Christ, following wisdom. Yes, we are going to sin. Yes, we are going to fail. But if we don't live in folly and we continue seeking after wisdom and seeking after Jesus Christ, then wisdom will continue to seek after us. But it's up to us as to whether or not we make the choice to follow or not. This evening, if you need encouragement in the choices and daily decisions that we have to make to walk in wisdom, to follow Jesus Christ, or if you need to begin that journey anew through baptism, then I ask that you would come to the front as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.